Some of us here in Central Ohio, at least, we root for the Buckeyes. A few of us root for other unmentionable teams. Could that make Jim Tressel a hero? Maybe one of the other coaches, or maybe a player. When I was a boy, I used to root for the Cincinnati Reds, and I still do, but not with the same enthusiasm. And we would play baseball. I'd play baseball with my cousins, one of which is here today. And we would often pretend to be one of the pitchers on the team, or or one of the other players. They were our heroes. We looked up to them. We wanted to be like them. And we would root for them. A lot of us here at LCF, we watch movies, we watch TV. Do we look to actors, movie stars, or celebrities that are our heroes? Where do you look for your heroes? Might I suggest that sports, movies, and politics not be your main source of heroes? Quite often, people in those fields let us down. Weekly and sometimes daily, even, another celebrity is in the news for something that we don't want to be associated with. So we need to be careful not to look to them for the wrong reasons. I'm not necessarily saying we can't find heroes in those arenas. Possibly we can. But my hope is after this sermon that you might have a clearer understanding of what God thinks a hero should look like. One of the reasons I picked this subject came from reading stories in the Old Testament. There are many stories of heroes and heroines to be discovered when reading through the Bible. Ordinary people that answered the call to follow God. Most often in the face of danger or ridicule or against unimaginable odds. Yet God used their faith to show his power. These heroes were not in it to have their names lifted up. They weren't in it to see their names in lights, and they weren't in it to be on the front page of the paper. Their hearts were right with God, and they learned to listen to God. They trusted God, that he was in control, even when the circumstances looked the worst. The text I'm going to use today is from Hebrews chapter 11. And so if we would, let's turn to that. And Hebrews chapter 11, we'll talk a lot about it. It'll give us a glimpse into the Old Testament and some of the early believers that stayed focused on God. Let's start with verse 1. I'll read first three verses. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Let's stop there. As we go on and read, we're going to see people that believed God created the world, that he's still in control of the world, and most importantly, that he was in control of their lives. A lot of times they couldn't see the end result. They couldn't see how God was going to get them out of the circumstances that they were in. But verse 1 says that they were sure and they were certain, even of things they couldn't see. May these stories and others like it give you confidence to do the same thing and realize that he is in control of your life. He has your best interest in mind, even when you can't see the end result. Have faith. Let's read 4 through 10. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Are you looking for rewards here on earth? Or are you looking for rewards in heaven? Let's read on verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Even if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Notice that these heroes had their focus on heaven. They did not have it on immediate rewards. A lot of times in this day and age, we look for immediate satisfaction. We look for things faster, quicker. We want rewarded for things right now. It's hard to go against the grain, to slow down and to focus on eternity. Finding time to read the Bible will help you find balance in life and keep you grounded when you'll need it most. Don't wait until you're in the middle of a crisis to look for God for wisdom and guidance, but if you make a choice now, you'll be prepared to handle what life throws at you. Often by reading the Bible, by reading God's Word, we'll have the same perspective as those heroes that have gone before us. I sometimes read a Bible, not necessarily for study. I have a one-year Bible. I'm on my second year already. I have read through the Bible one time, not this particular one. And there are many stories in there that just, it seems like they hit you at just the right time when you're going through life. And if you don't read the Bible, it just seems like you can't get in touch with God and what he's trying to tell you. But there are stories that just encourage you to go on when life gets hard. Now, I don't necessarily read the Bible every day, but I do try to stay in contact with God, whether through prayer, through music, maybe through other avenues. And I think that's important, but I think it all comes back to the Bible, because the Bible is given to us, and I don't think we should take it for granted. I think a lot of us do. It's hard to slow down. It's hard to find time to read His Word and to hear from God, but it's a privilege that we should not take for granted. There are some of us here that have built a habit of getting up in the morning, reading the Bible. They can take what they've read and take it with them throughout the day. I'm not an early morning person. It's really hard for me to get into that routine. But for those of you that do, I commend you, and I think that that's great. And for those of you that don't do that, give it a try, because it is a good habit to follow. Whatever time you find that works for you, hold on to that. Make it a habit. Don't let go of it. Again, a lot of times it'll mean developing new habits to find time to read His Word, to hear from God. It might mean setting time aside. In our society, in our culture, it will be difficult. It'll be different. Reading the Old Testament and the New Testament can allow our minds to travel to another time and another place, much like reading books like Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia. You'll find fascinating stories with heroes, heroines, villains. Recently, I've heard or read about people that have become new Christians. The Bible just, it was foreign to them. It was overwhelming. They didn't know where to start. So what they did is they went and they bought children's books. They read children's books, just like we read to our children. And they learned about the heroes of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And through that, it motivated them to then read the Bible. And then the Bible made a little more sense to them as they started reading those stories about the people that have gone before us. So I want to encourage each of us to somehow make this a priority and make this a foundation of our walk with Jesus. This brings my attention to the ultimate biblical hero. You can probably guess who that is. Well, I've got a video that talks about that too.
From hell.
That took you back in time, too. I guess that tells my age. I just want to say this morning, if Jesus is not your number one hero, He should be. He wants to be. Jesus is the ultimate healer, comforter, giver of life and hope. And I just don't want to skip ahead this morning without giving you a chance, if God is calling you, to make a difference in your life. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to help you make it through whatever you're going through. He wants to give you a life of purpose and a life of fulfillment. And he can do that because through his death on the cross, Jesus' resurrection, he's made a way for us to get to heaven. I don't think it happened like it did in the video, but it's fun to imagine. Jesus coming out of the tomb, making his way to heaven, and what Satan must have felt, how defeated he was at that point. And with that same power, Jesus can get us to heaven. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's take a moment and just bow our heads. I don't know where you're at spiritually today. Maybe you're at a place where you need to ask forgiveness of sins. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do that now. Whatever your situation, know that there is nothing God cannot overcome or forgive. If you would like to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life from this day forward, I'm going to say a simple prayer and you can repeat it after me. Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and that God raised you from the dead in victory over sin and death. I want you to be Lord of my life. Amen. If you said that prayer today, we're going to have a time of sharing at the end of our service. We do every Sunday. And that'd be a good time to share what's going on in your life so that others here in the church can encourage you in your walk with Jesus. If you don't share during that time, please find somebody. Talk to them. That is part of the purpose of the church. That's part of the purpose of London Christian Fellowship and the church as a whole. With that in mind, I want us to look at the church. I want us to look at the church for our heroes. Look around you, both here at LCF and in the church body as a whole. Who are your heroes there? Who are the people in our community that have had an impact in your life? Somebody that maybe has been a mentor, somebody that you want to emulate. Your local heroes, they might be a teacher, might be a boss, a mentor, might be your parents, might be your spouse, might be your children, might be a pastor, maybe a peer. Maybe it's somebody that's helped you, that's cared for you, spent time with you, encouraged you, done some small act of kindness, somebody that's just loved you. So I don't know where you look for inspiration, where you look for guidance. I do know that we all look around us. We look at each other for examples of what's right to do, what's wrong to do. So we have modern day mentors. We have modern day heroes. Last November, Robin and I, we celebrated our 23rd wedding anniversary. Every year we celebrate another anniversary, I always reflect back on the people that have had an impact on our marriage. One thing I did last year was to write a letter to some of those people, thanking them for their guidance and helping hands in our lives. I consider them to be heroes because without their help over our lifetime, our marriage may not have survived some very, very rough years. As I look back on my life, another place that I find heroes is in my grandparents. Seeing their commitment to living a life of integrity and humility has inspired me to do the same. I'm sure they made mistakes as life went along, but when I was a child and they were older, I often saw them spending time reading the Bible, fasting, helping others. My grandfathers had good work ethic and didn't live for the glory of this world, but they lived with their eyes fixed on heaven. I want to be like them. We all need heroes. We need people that we can follow in their footsteps. And like it or not, believe it or not, there are others that are looking at you to follow in your footsteps. Hero. What does it mean to be a hero? The dictionary says, a man of great courage and strength who is celebrated for his bold deeds, a person noted for courageous acts or significant achievements. I think heroes sometimes are recognized for having overcome something, having died for a cause maybe, having saved somebody's life. Let me give you some characteristics that I have found in a hero. Humility, honesty, trustworthy, dedicated, broken. I often picture a hero as an overcomer for Jesus. Many of us have had to, or still are, overcoming things that try to pull us away from God. And if we look at the rest of the chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you read down through there, quite often it starts out, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph. And we find heroes, people after people, that put their faith in God no matter what. Once again, we see many examples of people that we consider heroes and heroines because when faced with impossible odds in the face of danger, they stayed focused on God and they stayed focused on His will. God took many people from the Old Testament and the New Testament that were the least likely, sometimes the weakest, people that have failed. They also paid the price of those and consequences for their sins. But they were forgiven. If you look at David, look at his life. He was forgiven and he sought God with all his heart. They showed what he could accomplish through them because they were faithful. If we look around, we'll see everyday heroes among us. Here at LCF, we have people that are getting a second chance. We have people that are prayer warriors. We have college and high school graduates that didn't give up. We have couples that are committed to the working in their marriage with God's help. We have Sunday school teachers. We have people overcoming addictions and pass in smoking, alcohol, or drugs. We have guys overcoming the pull of pornography. We have people fighting through illness, fighting through pain. We have people that have overcome the unexpected death of somebody very close to them. We have parents and single parents raising children. We have moms that give endless sacrifices for their families and their friends. We have husbands that are committed to the call on their life and their church and their family and their work. We have people that give money to ministries at LCF. We have people that give money to ministries at Rosedale Mennonite Missions, we give, and other places that we don't see. We have people that invest time in the lives of others, people that write notes of encouragement. We have many people that work behind the scenes that don't get recognized, but they're answering the call of what God has called them to do. So, what kind of hero will you be? Whose hero will you be? In verse 34, I'm not going to read that, but it says that their weakness was turned into strength. Don't let your weakness be an excuse for not being a hero for Jesus. Most of the time, you can't become a hero in one day, but you can today make a commitment to being a hero in your lifetime. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Each day can be a success if we have the mentality of these verses in Hebrews. You can be a hero with this goal. You may not receive your reward or recognition here on earth, but you will be recognized and you will be rewarded in heaven. In closing, I'm going to leave with another verse and a song. I don't really like to look forward to my funeral, but when I do, my hope is that this verse and that this song can be part of the celebration of my life. These are inspirations to me, and my hope is that they will be an encouragement and a challenge to you today, too. At the end of our lives, like Paul, may we be able to say in 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Listen to this song.